Listen to supporting Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Welcome to a Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's Word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning. Oh, what a great Tuesday that it is. God has given us. Mm-hmm. I'm stealing Ann's thunder a little bit, but I won't do that
you
now.
You can take it.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you. Well, I just, you know, we all know it's God makes the days, and He's enabled us to be a part of it.
Amen.
And especially in this day, this hour that we have to come to you in a biblical response and to look at something in the news and, you know, kind of dive deeper into the Word of God and what the Lord is giving us to share with you in light of that. But first, I must introduce my co-hosts, and I'm going to save Stephanie for last.
Oh, good.
Only because she's going to introduce our special guest today. Keith Masters, brother, it is so good to see you.
Good to see you, David. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning,
good morning, Ann. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Keith.
And we get good morning to our special
good
guest
morning.
This morning.
Do we have any shout-outs today, Keith?
Yes, we do. JW, my good friend, JW.
Good morning, JW.
Good morning, JW.
Good morning.
And my good friend, Greg, mm-hmm. who is actually from New York, visiting Florida this mm-hmm. week. And hopefully I get to see him tomorrow and say hello.
Well, maybe he'll be one of those New Yorkers that decides to come and stay.
They might. They might fall in love with it, just as everybody that comes down here does.
Hallelujah. Just don't vote for the people that drove you out. That's
right.
All we got to say.
Right.
Anyway, and Ann Limhoko, as always, good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Okay. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There it is.
There it is. So, yes, it is the day. We must always remember that.
We do, because not everybody gets up sometimes, you know? I mean,
yeah. That's right.
Every day we have breath, and the Lord gives us breath.
Amen.
So by we have to grace. Be blessed by it, by His grace.
By
Amen.
His grace.
And meaning and purpose, which is part of His gift of life to us.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, to serve Him in some powerful ways.
Amen.
The best life I ever had is after I met Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because God got me into actualizing who I'm really supposed to be, not who I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
And can I just add one on top of that, David?
Yeah.
Because that's pinpoint. The one, they say you have no regrets in life.
Mm-hmm.
The one regret I have is that I didn't know Him sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
me too.
A good one.
Me too.
That's a good one.
You're making up for it, Keith.
What's that?
Yeah. You're making up for it.
You
very
are.
Well.
As you are.
Our evangelist Keith is on the street.
You're in the fast lane now, Keith.
Yeah.
All of us.
Express lane.
Well,
he's in the express lane.
That's
it's
right.
The Lord it's the Lord that is carrying me in speed.
Amen.
Amen. Doing it.
And Amen. And not certainly last and certainly not least, but Stephanie Jacobson, good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Ann, and good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Nice to be here.
It is nice for all of us to be here. We have a special group. You know, it's really kind of cool how God uses us together.
Hey,
it's exciting.
We are iron sharpening iron here.
We are iron sharpening
iron. We have
iron.
Our moments.
And we still like each other.
No, we do.
It's been over a year. We still like each other.
That's right.
There's been some really close moments.
And there have been.
Yeah. That's what God does in the fellowships that He creates.
Yeah.
You know, we're here for a purpose.
We are
human beings?
Him,
yeah. We don't stop being human. But we do seek, led by the Spirit.
Amen.
And we trust the broadcast is going to reflect that. And so today, no different than any other broadcast in that regard. But I think today's a pivotal broadcast. And I want to get Stephanie going, because you're going to intro our special guest and also get us started on what we're going to talk about today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited. And I will tell you that I had no idea why I was coming to this radio show and this radio station a year and a half ago.
Mm.
But I think you're right, David. I think this is a pivotal moment in our history as America. And I think that we're going to hear a little bit of that today.
Yes.
I want to start off with a scripture that this morning the Lord woke me up with. It was on the Bible app, so I don't know how many millions of people across the nation heard this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. That's out of Isaiah 53:6. And as I was contemplating this program today, I was asking the Lord to bring scripture to my mind that would make our time here together today congruent. This means more to me now that I'm reading, that I'm saying it, than it did when I wrote it this morning, but more congruent and harmonious with the Word of God.
Amen.
Because the Word of God is the truth.
Yes.
He reminded me that except for his grace, I would be walking down a deceptive path. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the Word of God is just like what is said in our intro, which I'm not going to intro who's here right now, but he does our intro for the program, and that is Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living. It's living. We are living and breathing the Word of God if we have Holy Spirit within inside of us.
Amen.
Sharper
Amen.
Than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. When you stop to think about that, it is mind-blowing. I mean, to the spiritual soul and spirit of mm-hmm. joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intention of the heart. So he mentions every part of our body in that. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk about actions that not line up with the Word and mm-hmm. our lies. I think it's in Matthew 4:13. It says, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account."
Yes.
And those lies are so subtle that the scripture in Matthew 24 says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." But first, let me introduce to you someone who I've known, well, actually more than my life, because he's older than I am. This is Lance Winkler, and I get to do this because he is my brother and a very special person in my life. And I've read this a couple of times this morning just to kind of get it out, and I teared up every time I did it. So if I tear up this time, y'all have to just bear with me. This guy has had to put up with me longer than anyone else, except for my father, who's 90 and still living with him. And I'll admit, I was not the nicest sister.
I'll admit that,
too. You could share secrets later after the program, Lance.
Yeah.
Lance and I had what you would call a sturdy Christian upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Our values were steeped in family and church, with music being like a thread that wove all of the pieces together. Lance moved to Nashville and started his career in music until God shook him one day and he began his journey of obedience by seeking and serving the holy God.
Amen.
He became a music minister and was a music pastor for the largest Methodist church in the nation, and for about 3 years was the fastest growing church in America. After being there 20 years, his convictions no longer aligned with that of their teaching. He and his wife moved to Port St. Lucie, moved now the music minister at All Villages Presbyterian Church, and has an amazing, patient, beautiful wife, Kelly. They have three grown daughters who are dear to their aunt's heart.
Yeah, mine too. Wow.
So welcome, Lance.
Yeah. Welcome, Lance.
It is so good to be here, guys.
Yeah.
And this is a shock to me because I call my sister to talk to her about some political thing that I'm agonizing over. And 2 days later, I'm
on the radio.
Well, so we want to share the agony, brother.
Yeah, we'll share some of your burden with you, brother.
Okay, well, good. That's good.
Just let me interrupt. We'll share the agony, but there's also beyond that is the answer
from
God.
Absolutely.
Which brings healing.
Yeah.
So that anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So you're going to just kind of give us an idea, a little bit of the history of where we're going, and then we'll get into the subject here in a minute. The poor audience isn't really going to know what we're talking about till we get there.
That's
so
right.
It will all flow together, though.
Yeah, so this is what I was talking to my sister just a few days ago about, and I'm a student of history, And so this was weighing heavy on me as I was watching the political landscape, looking at it. Mm-hmm. And this, I just wanted to lay this out there. From 1932 to 1995, the Democratic Party, they dominated the U.S. Congress. And during those 62 years, they held the House of Representatives for 58 of those 62.
Wow.
And they held the Senate for 54 of those years.
Mm. Mm. That was probably one of the most conservative times in our nation, we think, right? I mean, I may be asking questions that he's going to answer and say I'm wrong, but that's okay.
No, that was some of the most liberal. In fact,
liberal.
1932 is probably, people hold that Roosevelt was probably our most liberal president until Joe
Biden.
Well,
see there, I'm wrong already, to be wrong.
We're not sure who Joe Biden was, so okay. We know who Biden was.
Not sure who he was.
He's not.
All right, keep going, okay, bro.
I'm not sure what he said there. But since 2000, the Democratic stranglehold on the Congress has been waning. The Republicans have held each house more than the Democrats. Mm. Now, what I've noticed is the Democrats have been trying to run on personality rather than policy since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 9/11 kind of locked them out for the first 8 years. Bush and the war was a little too persuasive for people, and so it was Republican. But then they presented the first black president. And, of course, much of the appeal had nothing to do with policy.
Yeah.
And I heard many say at the time, I voted for him because I wanted to vote for the first black president. And to be honest, I wanted to vote for him, too, for that reason.
That's right.
I really did.
A lot of us did.
I was excited about it. Now, after that success, they tried the first woman president. Again, the idea of personality really over policy. Hook. They used the hook of the first.
Mm-hmm.
I think if she had not run into Donald Trump,
she would be the wall of a president.
The idea of another first, I think it probably may have worked.
Yeah.
Now, then they presented Joe Biden as middle of the road, and from his basement, he received millions of votes, more than any politician in American history. Now, I believe the Democrats went to extraordinary lengths to pull off that win of 2020.
Yeah, they sure did.
I believe they know what they had to do to accomplish that.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that they think they can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel, this is what I've observed, it feels like the Democrats, the liberal party, especially the liberal wing, are coming to their wits' end, and they're trying to build constituencies by opening our borders.
Yep.
Just importing a constituency or breaking off chunks of Republican support using identity politics.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, am I going to vote according to my identity or am I going to vote according to a policy? So,
and we do a lot of things by our feelings.
Right.
Yeah. Which is not the way to really be thinking, especially as a Christian.
It's not rational. And most of all, they're doing it by, trying to build a constituency by vilifying Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is what I was talking to my sister about, but now they're using a political tactic I've never seen really before. It's what appears to be an evangelical Christian running for office as a liberal Democrat, and he's quoting the Bible, and it's not just about social justice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm observing.
They've gotten that desperate to do that,
so
right,
Lance? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
They've gotten that desperate to take what is a Christian, and I'm saying Christian with my hands up in quotes because this guy calls himself a Christian and running him as a Democrat.
Yeah, so I think he's talking about Tallarico, and we've talked
James
about him.
Yes, he's been on our
James Tallarico. We've talked about him before, and those of you that do not know who he is, James Tallarico is an American politician. He's actually in the Presbyterian Seminary, and he's a former educator in the schools. And I looked him up, and I'm sorry, I didn't look him up before because you did all the research.
That's okay.
And so last night I was looking him up. He's young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very young. He's what, 30?
I thought he was 33 or 34. Or
something like that. Born in 89, 36 years old.
Oh, wow. He's a baby.
And he was a school teacher. They have a picture of him there teaching the kids, and having authority over the children as far as being a teacher, which is great, but you got to know what you're teaching. And he's a Democrat nominee now for the 2026 U.S. Senate election in Texas and has been called a rising star among Texan Democrats. So this is the person that is kind of representing what we're going to be talking about today, but probably isn't the only one that's... Go ahead.
He's not the only one that I see on the horizon of this. I'm acquainted with, you know, being in religious circles and in liberal religious circles, having worked in them, although I was a conservative through it. I've seen other personalities and pastors that I think, I know a couple of them that are going to throw their hat in the ring here for high office. And it scared me when I saw, I started watching Tallarico 2.5 years ago, listening to his sermons, I think even before he was a representative in Texas. And so, because he just, and this is what frightened me, Tallarico is making arguments for progressive, I feel, perverted behavior.
Absolutely.
And he's using scripture.
It's not just your feeling, brother. It is in the scripture. That's
and if
right.
You don't think one layer deeper, he will deceive you. Or he will at least make you question what you think. And I wrote down a couple of examples. Are we okay?
I'm going to go for it.
Go for the examples. Absolutely.
So let me give you an example of one of the things he's mentioned. And this is out there all over the place. In fact, he said this, I think, on the floor of the House in Texas. God is non-binary. Now that's, and I, you know, that's a true statement. His nature is both male and female. I mean, because all things are created by him, and there wouldn't be female if it was not somewhere in his nature. So God is non-binary, but this is, so transgender people are the ones made in God's image. So
has that come out of his mouth?
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Or is this just under the surface?
Well, let me tell you, this is, he's very artful. He's a very artful politician. So he chooses words carefully. He'll state God is non-binary, and then a couple sentences later will say transgender children are created in his image, and there's nothing wrong with them. Now, he won't connect those two things together, but they're within the same statement. And so he's inferring that transgender children are truly the ones in God's image. And here's the yes, we are all created through Adam and Eve in God's image, but it's not our non-binariness that is the image. So let me go back and mention this.
Lance, perfect. If I could just, and I hate to, I don't mean to interrupt.
Please.
But in when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, what were his first words? Our Father.
Father, who art in heaven.
Our Father. So he didn't say, hey, Mom and Dad. He said, Our Father.
Right.
Yeah. As God presents to us in our relationship with him, he is the progenitor. He is the one who acts and moves. He is in the male figure. And that's why we refer to him as our Father. He is the one who began all things. But in Genesis 1:27, it states that both male and female were created in the image of God, implying God's nature includes both aspects. And it is true. God is non-binary. He's trinary. So he's not non-binary. He is a trinary being. Because God creates a wife for Adam, God presents himself to us as three, a binary man, a binary woman, both in a covenant empowered by love, holy matrimony, because he created a wife. He didn't just create another woman. He created a wife, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, Adam says.
From the rib of Adam.
From the very rib and substance of Adam. So he then called his three-part image very good. His image was not a binary person. And it's blasphemous, I believe, to say so.
It is.
Now, that's one example.
Can I just throw in at this point, because what James Tallarico, we're talking about him, but actually there's others out there very much like him, trying to do the same thing, is to capture the attention of the uninformed conservative mindset.
Exactly.
And draw them into voting for them, and all that's they're gonna vote for the image. They're going to vote for the personality, but they're not looking at the diametrically opposed policies and platforms that they're going to actually serve, and that's going to form and shape the laws. But getting back to, these people would like you to believe that God is can be confused. Yeah. Okay.
Because if
God is able to be confused, then yes, he made them male and female, but hey, you know, they could be whatever they want to be.
Right. But any given
day. Scripture itself does makes it very clear. Yes. God is not confused.
Nope.
And further, it also says he will not be mocked, mm-hmm. which is also happening in the language and the presentation of these folks.
Yes.
So be aware of that. Got to get back to the Word of God.
Yes, that's the whole thing. And when you were saying this, I'm thinking about the children or the people that do believe the lie that they are trans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this would be almost a healing balm, quote unquote, for them to think that someone would publicly come out and say this. And people are saying it all the time. But this guy, you know, his trajectory looks like it's going to go to Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for someone to be actually speaking and standing up so strongly for that transgenderism and trying to put it into the word, take the Word of God and take it out of the Word of God and say, this is okay. I mean, before we've just been like, oh, well, they're just kind of, you know, they're going through a crisis or whatever. But here, this guy's literally taking the Word of God and twisting it and turning it. So
right. He says transgender people are the ones made in God's image and there's nothing wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And it has been defined as a dysphoria, this transgenderism and that it's been redefined in ways. But that's not what the show is about, but it's such a messing with the truth.
Yes.
It's such a messing with the word.
So subtle. Yes.
And it is serpentine. I mean, it is like a serpent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've got another example. If
go for it. You got time.
I said on Joe Rogan not too long ago, Tallarico said that Mary, Mother of Christ, could have aborted Jesus because the angel gave her choice. And how bodily autonomy is a divine gift, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the baby is not your body.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, but him using that just, and he does it, and now he comes back and he readjusts what he's saying. Well, I was just talking about bodily autonomy. I wasn't. But when you're talking about Mary and that she was given a choice, and we all know what choice is related to and choosing abortion. So he couches this very subtly, Tallarico does. But the inference is there, and everybody knows it who's listening.
Mm-hmm. Question. I cannot imagine sitting with the Word of God and taking what I know is against the Word of God. I don't know how this guy truly thinks, but if he wants to be president of the United States, and that may be his trajectory, what will you give up to be in the presidency? I mean, are you willing to give up? This is a real life
example of a soul.
Of
gain the whole world.
Soul. Mm-hmm.
Gain the whole world, but lose your soul.
Yeah.
And what basically the basis is that Christians don't know their Bible. So if you are biblically illiterate, and that's why we say on this program every day, read your word, read your word, read your word.
Don't believe us.
You will,
go back and read it
yourself.
That's
why we bring the Word of God to bear, as Lance says in the intro. Then they will be deceived. Right, Lance?
The rocket fuel for James Tallarico is biblical illiteracy.
Absolutely.
That's all that it is.
Wow.
And
people
that are not able to critically think one layer deep. And there's reasons why people that are capable of that don't do that. One of those reasons is if they hate Donald Trump, they don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't care. And even Christian people, and I know a lot of them.
Me too.
That hate him, hate his demeanor, hate lots about him. And when they hear something that is in contradistinction to Donald Trump, they simply accept it.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know... And it's one thing if you're lying about, well, he's been convicted 41 times, if you're talking in terms of that.
Yeah.
But when you're lying about the Word of God.
Yeah, man.
I just.
Where is the fear of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not about Donald Trump. It's not. It is about the deception.
Yes.
Of what the enemy wants to do because he hates God. He doesn't hate us. I mean, he hates us because we're made in his image. But he's not after us. He just wants to show that God is not God here.
Right.
That he rules the prince of the air here.
Mm.
as that as you're talking, go back, and we were talking about this last night when on the phone or on we were sitting across from each other on the couch. But what did you say to me when you said the one layer deep? If you don't go one layer deep, and you said to me, you said I had to stop and think about that.
Right. Well, even the. When
I mean, because you're one of the most, I love my
intellectual
brother.
Intellectual. He is. Very, very. But the Lord made him.
He
a
is.
Gift.
Lance has a gifting. Yes. And it sometimes drives me nuts. And he drives Kelly nuts. But no, it's a loving thing that I have learned so much. You talk about the fast track, Keith. This man has been a fast track for me since I moved down here for 5 years. I have been schooled and
by
tutored by my brother.
That's a good thing.
And God knew that I needed that in this moment. Mm-hmm. And
I'm
so,
just hoping it takes.
All right. Well, we have to give
likely.
A reason for our defense.
He's giving it back
and
to me.
We have to like know how to communicate it. But anyway, yeah. Lance, what were you going to
say? Let's move. We got a couple of minutes before the break.
Okay.
Can I read something real fast just about what you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
So in Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And this is the point. When negative thoughts, and this comes from Joseph Prince. Some of you guys might know him, right? Mm-hmm. When negative thoughts come your way, you must not give them time to take root in your heart. Mm. This correlates with the wise saying that you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can surely stop them from building a nest on your head. Mm-hmm. We can't stop the enemy from attacking our minds, but we can surely defend ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
That's
Ephesians
so good.
Chapter 6, verse 17. Yes.
Amen.
And God's word is infallible, unshakable, and everlasting. Mm. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 8, 1 Peter 1:25. And this is the example. Jesus himself showed us what to do when we are under attack by the devil. Three times he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Each time his response was the same. He quoted the written word of God. And against each attack, his response was to say, "It is written." Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11.
That is so good, Keith. Mm.
So you were just talking about the word of God. That is the sword. That is the shield right there against the attacks that come against our mind and from people like Tellerico, who is deceiving you with a falsehood.
And you just gave them the way to
counter it.
Kill it is to go, "It is written."
It is written.
Where are we going to go find where it's written? In the word of God.
Amen. Well, just read the full scripture and you
I'm sorry, before we go into another deep place, which we need to do, let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And
we're
then
already
we'll be
there?
Back in about 2 minutes. Yeah, I know we're already there. Wow. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Well, this is a biblical response. We are back from that very brief break. Hope that was helpful to you. We're going to continue with our, yes, I'm going to call, ask you to call too if you want. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Because we're trying to stay on track, we want to have you call, have you share your concern. Be succinct. And that's a word that actually means short.
In other words,
but please call.
Don't study the dictionary. But yeah, express your concern one way or the other. Then we will thank you for your call, and we'll determine whether we're going to deal, you know, talk about it or move on. Because we still have a lot of ground to cover. But again, 772-221-1100. And we've thus far been talking about the Democratic Party seeking to remake themselves to be more appealing, mm-hmm. And to really win elections. Basically, that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. But the method that they're using, of course, is it's obfuscation of the truth, meaning that they're going to start acting roles they really don't, not really who they are. And one of the voting blocks, if you will, that they're looking at is the conservative Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Who at the same time may not be as biblically literate as we would like them to be. And so they're coming across as Christians deeply embedded in the Word, walking with God and all of this. And yet when you peel back the layers of the onion they've wrapped themselves in, mm-hmm. and onions, when you peel them, they make you cry. And so we're kind of doing that too with this whole issue of the deception that's going on and trying to get you to vote for them. And then what happens is the real person is going to actually write the bills and vote on legislation that's ungodly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but I was doing some study relative to this program. And one of the areas I was pulling together was where Scripture talks about God's view of unscrupulous civic leaders or leaders, elected or monarchies. We don't have a monarchy in America, by the way, in case you haven't been paying attention. And the remedy he provides. So, now, we know God is sovereign over all rulers. All power comes from God. Scripture in Daniel says, Daniel 2:21, he changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. This is God's work. And we, you know, we have to know that this is, you have all of our elected leaders, God allowed them to be in authority and have the authority that comes with the role. He does not approve, though, of leaders who rule unjustly, oppress the people, mm-hmm. or depart from his ways. As scriptures say, when the wicked rule, the people suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice.
Yes.
When the wicked rule, the people groan. Now, let me tell you, there's a lot of groaning going on in America right now.
Okay. Everywhere.
There is.
You're not paying attention to it. You don't have TV. You're not leaving your house.
Yeah.
Okay, because otherwise it's right out there. Now, God repeatedly condemns kings and leaders who lie, pervert justice, or lead people into sin. And you can go to 1 Kings 16 through 21, talk about Ahab and Jezebel. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can go back there and check it out. Isaiah 10:1-2, on unjust decrees. So God really holds leaders accountable for the ungodly things that they do. Now, the remedy is not human rebellion or despair, but repentance and prayer by God's people. That's big. Mm-hmm. Coupled with courageous obedience to him above all.
Amen.
And I'm just going to throw this in, because we do, you may not think highly of us here. If you disagree with us, that's fine. But we do come together and pray, and we seek God's will. And
absolutely.
Before every program, it's like, Lord, lead us in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he knows he's leading fallible human beings, but mm-hmm. we desperately want to serve God. And the content mm-hmm. of these broadcasts, we believe, are led by the Lord. We believe that. And so, but there are people that, you know, are held, well, they're held accountable by the Lord if they're not doing that, if they're not following his will. And then, of course, very common scripture we've heard, I think since the return in 2020, September 26th, Jonathan Cahn and Kevin Jessup, two pastoral leaders that brought together that event on the Mall in Washington. Mm-hmm. 250,000 people gathered there, tons more on the TVs. My wife and I are one of them. And this scripture was quoted again and again as a fundamental scripture for the idea of returning to God and repentance for a nation. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Yes.
God promised that.
That's right.
And there's a movement now in America to repent. It's been going on since then, really in earnest, and it's growing every day mm-hmm. to repent for the sins of America.
Can I say something to that yep. real quickly? Not off course. I know you're going to get back to that. But one of the things moving in the abortion world as far as pro-life and all that, the movement, one of the things that I struggle with really badly, I've had two abortions, and so my sin is abortion. And I just want to say to people, yes, pray for the ending of abortion and the sin of abortion. But if that is not your sin, look at your heart and see what your sin is.
Amen.
And please, please repent and then fight the good fight.
Yes.
And whatever that looks like, whether it's pro-life, whether it's whatever. But our sins are our sins against God. Mm-hmm. My sin of abortion is not my sin against you. It is a sin against humanity. Mm-hmm. But it's really, truly, first and foremost. So our sins, yeah. we have to check our own hearts first. And so, anyway, I just wanted to say that because a lot of times people think that I'm just the worst person in the world because I've sinned and I'm thinking, that's oh, right. Lord.
We all have sinned.
We've all sinned. Yeah. Fall short of the glory of God.
And Scripture says we need to be, put ourselves before the Lord. Examine me. Right. Examine me.
And believe me, it's important Psalm 139. For us to do that.
And so. That's, you know.
And what, yeah.
I was just going to say, let me, before I lose this thought.
Sorry.
Because I have holes in my
Sorry,
brain.
Sorry, David.
Is that this is ultimately what we need to do individually and
Absolutely.
As a church.
Yes.
Thank you.
We haven't done that enough.
Yes.
But I'm speaking now, especially to listeners that are struggling. They're still staying with us at this point, but they really just strongly disagree with us. All right. I agree with, if you don't disagree with us, fine. Go to God and ask Him.
That's it.
Where Amen. The truth is.
Amen. Yes. Absolutely.
And if we have dealt with it any at all, and not just this, but any of the broadcasts. You go to God. Don't moan
say.
And groan, and go to other people that moan and groan, and say, "Oh, they agree with me because
we'll
these people."
We'll have a conversation with them, though. If
we will
they
have, a,
have
conversation,
a conversation.
But yeah. The best conversation you need to have is with God.
That's true.
First,
yes.
Okay. The last thing is just, I love Peter. I relate to Peter.
Me
I can
too.
Walk on water if it's not too deep, but. In Acts 5:29, and this is Peter and the other apostles were dealing with obedience, mm-hmm. issue of obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Peter says, we must obey God
rather than
human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all I wanted to offer at this point, is
oh,
just to come throw that
good.
Into the program.
Thank you,
well,
David.
And that flows into the fear of man.
Yeah.
And if you're fear of man mm-hmm. instead of God, you're not a child of God. It says that in the Scriptures. You are not a follower of Christ. If you fear man, and that's a real
That was
thing.
The demise of Saul.
Yeah.
It was.
He led such a great life as a king, but then he started to fear men. Yeah. That's what happened. That's why, remember when he was told to get rid of all, is it the Amalekites?
To kill.
Yes.
Was it
yeah.
the Amalekites?
It was
but then
the
they
Amalekites.
Saved the choice mm-hmm. sheep because mm-hmm. the yes. people wanted it.
And yeah.
He feared
yeah.
what they had to say mm-hmm. versus what God told him to do.
Amen.
And he left the king alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
alive. And God told him to
that's
kill him.
That's a really interesting point there. What Saul was doing was disobeying God.
Yes.
Because of his compassion and his empathy. A lot of it was compassion and empathy. I mean, I'm not going to put this king to death and his mm-hmm. family mm-hmm. and everything else. And I relate to Saul that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, Tallarico, these people that talk like this, that use the Scripture, the basis of their thing is empathy and sympathy and mm-hmm. for people, you know, we love these
I think
kids.
You're right.
We love these. This is and this
but
is
they're not.
This is how they sell it. But
it's called toxic empathy, Lance.
Yeah,
it's toxic
empathy.
It's
right.
not an answer for those people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an answer for them to say that no, God does think this is wrong,
mm-hmm.
and you need to repent and be healed from this.
Mm-hmm.
And there can be something miraculous take place in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They are stealing a possible miracle from these people
mm-hmm.
because they're so empathetic,
yeah,
and love them so much.
That's the tool of the
But they
enemy.
Love men more than they love the Word of God.
Well, I'm going to go to Ephesians 2:8 real fast. By grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Yeah.
And not of works.
That's right.
Yes.
So if you're feeling, if your emotions, you're feeling that your emotions are works, that you're being empathetic towards these people.
That's true.
That is
not just the work of your hands.
That's not just the work of your hands. That's right. because that is not what's going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven, that's why, is the truth.
Let me say this, too. It's not that I'm not empathetic toward dysphoria and these different problems. I love James Tallarico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and we pray for James Tallarico. I see within him. Yes.
He has a love for reading the scripture and studying it, and that's been a part of his life, and I can see that. Mm-hmm. But he's loving men at this point more than he is loving the word of God.
Amen.
And I wonder, does he know the truth, or he's putting it aside for the sake of rising up in the political system? I pray that's not the thing, but it seems like it is. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
I have a real quick story about toxic empathy from my own hospice experience as a chaplain. Had a patient, very elderly woman, who was dying. She was actually in the active dying process.
Yeah.
Although she was not really responsive, basic bodily functions, if you work with them, they'll continue up to a point. And when a person's in the active dying process, the body doesn't, what people get afraid of and concerned for is they're not eating. And they're not eating because the body says, hey, it's time to go. I can either digest the food or I can, create the endorphins that are keeping this person comfortable and work through the process. And if you actually try to feed someone who is actively dying, they'll be able to take the food in, the body will process it, but there will be no ability of that body to provide the chemicals it's going to produce to comfort that person. And they're going to die anyway, but the question is, they're going to die in great pain. And this is what happened sadly to my patient, is her daughter, who loved her. And I can appreciate daughter's love. Mm. Could not admit that her mother was dying. Kept feeding her because, there's a fear of, she's going to starve to death. Aww. And actually, no, she was going to die anyway. Yeah. That's the way the body works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not feeding them is actually the blessing for them. Mm. But the toxic empathy that was at work there.
Wow, I didn't. Yeah,
that's a good analogy.
Took away this woman's peace or much of it at the end of her life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and that's what we do. We do that in culture, in our society, and all we're talking about right now. We vote for people because they're telling us what we want to hear to make us feel better about something that demands a 180-degree response different from that.
Right.
Yeah, and it's going to be painful and it's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
But that's what effects great and positive change.
Amen.
It says in Matthew 7:21, and did I interrupt you,
no,
Lance?
No,
I apologize. No. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And it also says, it's so the Holy Spirit, because I'm reading this book on the fear of God. I was telling Lance this before the program began. And basically, Scripture says in the latter days, a gospel would be proclaimed and widely accepted that would offer a counterfeit salvation. And that counterfeit salvation that Tallarico is offering is void, without lordship or without the word of God as truth.
Right.
And that's what we're not only talking about Tallarico, we're talking about, there's a whole group of people,
right?
That are probably rising through the Democratic Party, And people are being fooled. And Paul says in Corinthians, many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure. They profess the Lord Jesus, but live contrary to his word.
Mm-hmm.
If you go against the word of God, that should be like a big red flag. Yeah. That is not a Christian if you go against the word
and
of
here's,
God.
And here's, we've got the two-party system, essentially. And the problem is we've got people involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people,
That's it. We ain't got no better than that.
If it was just the platform and everybody chose a platform, then our platforms are pretty opposite.
Yeah.
And you can vote according to the platform.
Right.
The problem is we have people who get ourselves so involved in all of this that we try to put our personalities forward. We try to put our looks forward. We try to put all these things, the color of our skin or the female male. And it confuses people. And what is confusion from? Confusion is from the enemy.
Absolutely.
And so what we're trying to tell you on this program is there is a way that is right up unto man, But it can lead to destruction if you're not looking to the one who is truth, which is the Word of God. He has given us the Word to actually do what is right. And it's a discernment, spending time with Him in prayer without distraction. Find a minute during the day to sit down with Him, if it's just 1 minute, because that minute leads to eternity.
Yeah.
It is for eternity, and He's trying to talk to us, and we just need to lean into that in one moment. It's a precious time too.
And that's the question that I have. How many, you know, that it's not about the Democratic Party, but how much of the church is voting out of the flesh, supporting the Democratic platform, which goes against the Word of God?
It's the church, Keith.
Yeah.
It's the church. Can I mention this? Because this is the thing that I was exercised by, the reason why I called my sister.
It landed on the radio.
Here's what to me is new and different. And I've kind of mentioned it before, and we'll flog that horse again. I am seeing something that the woke left liberals have always opposed to Scripture. It's like, that's
true.
That's not true. That's not, this Scripture's not true. This is, you know, and Scripture shouldn't be reading that. And a lot of atheism, a lot of opposition to Scripture.
To God.
Mm-hmm. They opposed it so that they could make what I believe is a perverted case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tallarico, and I'm just using him as a placeholder there, is using Scripture to make arguments to support the same perverted policy. I have never witnessed that before. Now, what's strange is, like Keith's saying, I have witnessed it take place in the church. I have heard that kind of twisting and perversion for the sake of being, we need to be compassionate on here and about this. And instead of letting that person die to themselves and be resurrected in newness, we want to be compassionate. Yeah, just stay right where you are and you'll be fine. But I see that now that we're the like in the Tallarico, he is supporting that perversion using the very same thing that the woke left used to oppose, which was Scripture. And I've never seen that before brought into the secular and political realm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there now.
And they realize that Christians are a big voting block, and they're trying to get some of us. Okay, when I say us, we're all Christians, to go to their side. And if we don't know the Word of God, you will vote for somebody like Tallarico, right?
Well,
it's actually very brilliant that they're doing that, but we can see through it because we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to discern. But that's why and a heart we're on the radio, because we're warning that the deception is here, and you
There's
need to
warning.
See it. This is a warning, right,
yeah.
Lance? This is
yeah,
a huge attention. Warning.
Yeah, and I wrote one little paragraph here that I would just like to say that it is one thing to lie about your political opponent and try to wrongly put him or her in prison. Another thing to lie about some economic policy while you defraud Americans out of billions of dollars. Or even lie about war or domestic decisions that, God forbid, ends up in loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a whole other thing to look people in the eye and lie about the precious words of a gracious Heavenly Father, and He's given them to you to guide you through an already troublesome world and to lead you to life everlasting. Mm-hmm. To lie about that is a monstrous hole of depravity, and it leads to a very hot place. And I see it happening around us. It breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it in the church. I've watched the church take these same tactics, but now to see it just pulled into politics, and we are all going to then, because politics is force, we could be forced to live their reality, to live their lie.
That's what I was just
going to
say.
And I do not want to be a part of that.
You know, you were talking about it being, you seeing it in the church, But when you go from seeing it in a church that's a somewhat safe place to be able to turn, and at least we're malleable towards the Word of God, when you take that and you put that in the secular sense, and there is no...
In a place of force.
There is no, there is no person that's malleable. We are seeking our own. We are seeking our own way. And interesting, I looked up the scripture that we were talking about earlier, and I'm going to read this real quick. I am going to read it real quick. It is Revelation 22:18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which is described in this book. That's a warning to us. That is not my words. That is in Revelation.
I'm just going to add to that with 2 Thessalonians.
Okay.
Chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Yeah. There will be a falling away first from the church.
And even now there are many antichrists.
Right.
That's what Paul was saying 2,000 years ago.
Right. Yes.
And they're practicing this very thing.
Right.
Exactly. Anything that is not God is antichrist.
That's right.
Yes.
So we have to be vigilant in our own circles. Mm-hmm. We may not be in the political realm. We may not be. But when you see something that is not godly, look at it for what it is. Mm-hmm. It is antichrist.
And speak up.
Christ.
And say something about
and
it.
Do something.
Don't
in your
watch
own
them go to hell or even our behavior.
Right. And look at your own life with it and say, am I involved in this? Mm. And if you are, take a step back and see what God's doing in your life, because my life isn't your guys' life.
Yeah.
I have a lane to go in.
Yeah.
I have to. Now we cross. We're here on the radio show together. We're, you know, we're my brother's my brother. I see him, but I'm not living his life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were raised in the same family. I am responsible for what I am before a holy God.
Yes.
And he can't change that, but he can speak into my life.
Yes.
We can speak into each other's life. That's iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living the word of God every single day.
Yes.
If you are a Christian, you have to look and see where your life is before a holy God. So one day we will set before him.
Yeah.
We will bow before him, and it will be for an eternity.
Yes.
That is the hope that lies within us.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And in what Stephanie shared, there is embedded this wonderful invitation that God has given us first, Tatius, to speak to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, God wants intimacy.
Yes,
absolutely.
And with us, not just, you know, hey, God, these are the things I want you to do for me, and that's my prayer. Well, we do that. That's petition. That's a form of prayer, but several other forms. But just coming before the Lord and being silent and saying, God, tell me what you want me to know. And then let him talk.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the warning that I would give to your listeners here, that don't take someone using scripture at face value during these elections, because now it's come down to actually lying to you about the word of God.
Yeah.
It's important for you to pick up the responsibility, pick up that mantle about your own life. And use your common sense at first.
Sure.
If some guy's telling you, that Mary, she had the choice to just abort Jesus Christ, use your common sense
critically,
and then read the rest of the scripture and understand that the angel's making a command to her, not giving her a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I have this one last scripture. Behold, Matthew 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves.
Mm.
Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Mm.
Man, that's a place
that's a tough
to be.
Part. That's a tough
powerful.
That's a tough
part.
But it's, you know, it is, it's encouraging, though, that we have something that we can actually chew on.
The word of God.
Yes.
That we can, it's almost a challenge. It's almost a challenge every day to do that very thing, to be as wise as serpent and as gentle as dove. And I get tested every day on that gentle as dove thing.
Yeah. I'm afraid.
And the wise thing, too.
I'm afraid I've not done that.
Yes, David.
Time is coming to a close. We got about 5 minutes. Less than five, but 4 minutes. I believe we ought to pray.
I think
somebody here in this room needs to pray for the people.
I totally
feel our listeners.
That.
I'm going to ask, Lance, would you be willing to do that, brother?
I'll do that.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to come before you, Lord, to walk into your throne room boldly. Yes. And I have things to ask today. And I would ask, Father, for your people in a land that you gave us, in a land that was based before they left that Mayflower, they wrote a compact that they were coming into this land to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through all of our failings and through all those years, here we are today. And Father, I would ask that you would raise up a standard for us, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Because it seems like there's just a flood of deceit and lying, and it seems overwhelming. So, Father, I would ask today that you would protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, that you would give us a heart of repentance. Finally, Lord, let us repent.
Yes, Lord.
Give us a spirit of repentance, Lord, that we'd come before you and say, I'm sorry, Lord. We have not picked up your word. We've not searched it out. We've not used our common sense. We have listened, and we, like sheep, have gone astray. But, Father, today I'd ask that you would give us repentance, that you would restore then this land.
Yes. Lord,
that we might see you as God and see you as the King and see Christ as the King. And that through that Creator we get our inalienable rights. Through that Creator, this is the source from where this government comes from, Lord. I would pray that you restore that to us, that understanding to us, Lord, and that each one listening today would not be offended.
Amen, yes.
Especially if you're listening to and you're a brother and sister in Christ, that you not be offended by this, but that you might be exercised by it and that you might look at yourself and because I'm going to go from here and do that.
Yes.
And I'm going to think about the words that I spoke. And, and Father, there's many mistakes made. But think about that today, folks, while you're out there. And I'd ask the Lord to give you a spirit of repentance, too.
Mm-hmm.
Christ's name we pray. Lord, we love you, Jesus.
Yes, we love you, Father.
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, can I read Ephesians? Wow. The Lord put this in my heart to read. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross in which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Amen. Hello. Thank you, Keith.
Ooh, that was beautiful.
Wow, that is... Well, in the... Where our time is dissipating. I can hear the sands of time, you know, and all that. But Lance, thanks for joining us today, brother.
Yeah, thank you,
Lance.
Gracious.
It was so great to have you on. It's okay.
Well, you know, the way God works is you may be back with us down the road. You never know. So that'll all be wonderful. And thank the rest of the team, you know, for coming together and working together, listening to the Lord. You know, I got to say, I love the way this we all work. This is a special group.
It's fun, isn't it?
But you know, one of the things is as we work to plan the program the day before on this 1 hour that we normally have on the WhatsApp video call, is we start. You know, we don't begin with consensus. We begin with
prayer.
We're at different places. We have prayer, but then we have to. I love the shifting, the moving. And at the end of the call, at least we have consensus, essentially. But it's the way God is moving in the midst of that to make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, we don't agree with everything, everybody. You know, we don't 100% agree with wherever we are. But when we get into the Word of God, when it's the call of God that we're dealing with, is we are in agreement with God.
Yes.
And when you're in agreement with God, the things you're working on together just flow.
They do. It's wonderful.
Praise God. That's another little bit of teaching before we say goodbye. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@A Biblical Response. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.